All right. Well, I want to officially welcome you guys. Thank you very much for coming. My name is Asif Rehmani, and I'll be presenting on using DataViews to get to your data within SharePoint and outside of SharePoint. Now, how many of you have worked with DataViews already? Just at least a little bit. Raise them high, please. Be proud of them. Yeah. All right. I'm proud of it. I've been using it for many years now. DataViews have saved me a lot of time, and I hope it has saved you a lot of time as well. And those of you who have not worked with DataViews, I really hope that before you leave today, you become a real believer in DataViews, of why DataViews are so important and how it can help you. And also, those of you who are developers, you know, those of you who are programmers who think, you know what, hey, programming is the way to go for everything, give DataViews a chance. See what it can do for you. Then go into programming. There's a lot you can do with this thing. Let me do a quick introduction of myself. Here's my email address if you need to get in touch with me. I'm a SharePoint Server MVP and a Microsoft Certified Trainer, a principal contributor at SharePoint-Videos.com. Anybody here heard of that site? A few folks? All right. Well, SharePointVideos.com is a place where we produce no-code videos. We don't like code in that site. It's all no-code videos or no-code screencasts, basically. Of functionality on using just SharePoint out of the browser, using SharePoint Designer, and using InfoPath. All right, and we right now have 213 videos out there already. And that's all like 8 to 12 minutes each video. And we're not fond of PowerPoint, by the way, so it's all demo. It's all, there are some PowerPoint, but mostly all demo. And also do training for Critical Path. I'm sorry, for SharePoint 2010 training, I go through Critical Path training, criticalpathtraining.com. If you have any needs for training, let us know. Critical Path Training. Very much into SharePoint Designer. We wrote the book on SharePoint Designer 2007. In 2008, that's when it came out. I think it kind of came out late, unfortunately. But here I am right here. No, this is the younger me right here, actually. And now we're writing the book on SharePoint Designer 2010, which should be out in about a month, hopefully. Been done writing for a long time now. It's since June, actually. I've been on it at least. All right. And as you know, I present at conferences like this one, other conferences, really enjoy meeting people. And I really feel the main thing about conferences, you know, you guys come over here, and it's like a, it's not a deep dive, but it's enough information that it could get you started and to, you know what, how can I use this in my office? How can I use this in our production? Or what is out there to be used? And then if you find something interesting, then you do a deep dive in it, right? You find a book, you find a consultant, or you find some kind of information out there, some video, some article, or something to do a deep dive in what you like. But that's why I like conferences a lot. Where same thing with me. When I go to conferences, I like to look at all different possibilities that are out there. And I hope you get the same kind of experience at this conference. All right, let's kick this off. DataView. The DataView concept came into play in FrontPage 2003. FrontPage, of course, being the application that everybody loves. I'm kidding. I know. FrontPage was like a nemesis for many developers, especially putting its own code in there and doing all this stuff. I used to be a developer until about 4 years ago, and I did lots of development before that. So FrontPage was not my friend. Okay. Until FrontPage 2003, the possibilities of customizing SharePoint using FrontPage 2003 came out. Then I saw the possibilities of what you can do to customize, to administer SharePoint 2003 using FrontPage, and that's when I became a fan of it, honestly. And DataView Web Part being one of the main things that I liked about it. So now this is a website that was produced in SharePoint 2003, right? Got the old look and feel. This website, very simple. This is a Windows SharePoint Services version 2 website. I use FrontPage 2003 to make these two data views, and I used a database called Northwind Database. You guys remember that, right? Northwind Database has been the sample database that Microsoft has chosen to put a lot of sample data out there. And I used that to show customers' data, show my orders' data from there, and then connect that data together. And at that time, in 2003, this was like, wow, you can do all that stuff without code. That's amazing, you know? Right now, it's not that big of a deal. Yeah, you can do that. And some of you, if you've not seen that, you will see it today, how you can do it. But this was like a big, shocking thing. It was a big new thing, doing it without code. So I've been a fan of DataView since then. This is one of the main reasons I left development to begin with. My second main reason that it was that we had our first son, and I didn't have enough time anymore, you know? So now we're having a third one, by the way. So it's like every iteration of SharePoint, we have kids. 2003 we had, 2007 we had, and 2010 we're having one now. It's the third one. Anyway, no more about it. I know there's going to be SharePoint iterations, but no more Asif iterations. That's for sure. All right. DataView Web Parts got matured in 2007. SharePoint Designer 2007 came out, and you could deploy now DataView Web Parts with SharePoint Designer 2007. And this is where the game really started changing. I mean, this is where I really look at SharePoint Designer as being the game changer, as being really a friend for developers, for IT professionals, for all the power users, basically, looking to get access to their data and maybe even change data back in their repository. All right, that's where SharePoint Designer comes into play. So looking at this briefly here, since many of you are new to DataView, you know, you got these data sources right down here, right? You got all these data sources right in here, XML files, web services, SharePoint lists, SharePoint libraries. You want to get data from these repositories into your SharePoint page. That's your end goal. So you point to it, you make your data source connection, it pulls the data back in, shows it to you in SharePoint Designer 2007. So it brings it in, all as XML, doesn't matter what the repository is, it brings it as XML, lets you view it in the WYSIWYG, what you see is what you get kind of view, lets you manipulate it using XSLT. XSLT, being the transformation language it is pretty complicated, but in SharePoint Designer, it's just clicking around and things are happening, right? And then the end product is you pushing your page out to the browser. The person who's actually looking at the data don't know exactly how you made it. It could have been Visual Studio, it could have been SharePoint Designer, it could have been a separate product altogether. But the actual person who's looking at the data, they're just looking at the browser. They see the data that's coming from maybe a variety of different sources. But at the end of the day, it's data that they need to see, and you've made it happen. And if you do it to SharePoint Designer, it's a few minutes. If you do it to Visual Studio, it's a few hours, maybe a few days, depends how good a developer you are. Took me a few days. I was not a great developer. All right, so here's the different sources listed out here of what you can get to using DataView Web Part. Lists, libraries, databases, all types of databases, XML files, server-side scripts, RSS feeds, for example, also fall into server-side scripts. If you want to subscribe to, for example, a blog, or if you want to subscribe to an RSS feed coming from a site, real simple syndication feed from a site, SharePoint Designer can make that happen. DataView Web Part is your friend for that. Web services, being able to get to any web service, whether it be protected, whether it be unprotected. Of course, protected will let you supply the credentials to get to a web service. Get to the data, bring it back, and show it to your users. Last thing here, business connectivity services. This is something that I will dive into tomorrow morning. I have four sessions here. Tomorrow morning session, I believe it's tomorrow morning, is business connectivity services. How you can use BCS within SharePoint Designer to make this abstraction layer between SharePoint and your end data. How do you get to your end data going through the BCS layer? And then the BCS layer itself could be the place where it could let you administer things, it could let you secure the actual connection, let you define the entities or the external content types to get to your data. All that stuff is coming up tomorrow. But that's all different ways that DataView Web Part will let you get to your data. For those of you who have worked with DataView before, you know, the DataView Web Part has been extremely important since the beginning, and it's extremely powerful also since the beginning. The problem we saw, and now this is for all of you out there, the problem that we saw with not DataView Web Part, but the other web parts was when you get to your list or library data, it uses a different web part altogether initially, right? It's called a list view web part. So the list view web part in the prior versions would let you get to your data. It will present it using something called CAML, Collaborative Application Markup Language, while DataView is using XSLT, like I mentioned before. So the list view web part, the old list view web part, will let you show the data, but it had lots of limitations. So you just go ahead and put a web part for a shared documents library, for example, or you put a web part on your page for a links list or whatever, and that's using list view web part, right? So limitations were, for example, if you try to go into it and start making groupings of different things, you can make up to two groupings and no more, all right? So we had to go to DataView web part after that. Or if you wanted to manipulate the data in SharePoint Designer, you wanted to make this list view app part really, really awesome, you had to convert it to data view app part, which meant that later, if you try to go to the browser and make modifications there, make modifications to your views and everything else, no can do. Right? Those limitations have been lifted now. You got something called the XSLT list view web part. That's the default web part. So the way you get this web part is, well, every web part actually, every list web part or every library web part that you see on a page is already a XSLT web part. You put a web part on a page and it's showing a list or library, automatically XSLT web part. So I'll be talking about that, the first one. And then I'll be talking about data views. Data views are still there. In fact, everything is data view, really, technology-wise. But XSLT data view web part is a separate web part which will let you get to external data, database data, web service data, BCS data, all those things, it will give you a data view web part for it. All right? So it's XSLT list view web part and XSLT data view web part. That's the distinction. That's the two different web parts. And I'll be showing you both of those in my demonstration. A couple more slides, and then we'll jump into demo, and then we'll stay there throughout. So one cool thing that DataView Web Part had, and now both web parts have, is being able to conditionally format your data. You know, you want to highlight something, you want to hide something, you want to have something stand out in such a way, or maybe not stand out at all, depending on the actual data dynamically. That's where conditional formatting comes in. And now you have conditional formatting of data in both of the web parts, XSLT list view and XSLT data view web part. And I'll show you how that happens. This is extremely important right here, where looking at data and reading data is great, wonderful. But what about if I want to write back data? What about if I wanted to manipulate my data source directly? So I have an XML file, XML island, let's say, just sitting there somewhere, and I want to go ahead and change that data in the repository in the XML file, right? The XML file might be in my SharePoint document library. Well, DataView Web Part will let you do that. We'll go into the XML file and we'll change it for you. Same thing with database tables. All right, we'll let you go into a database table, make changes to your database table directly from a SharePoint web page if you have configured it previously. Same thing with list library data. Same thing with web service data. And then when you talk about web service, anything is possible, right? Because web service is the protocol that's going to let you get from SharePoint to anywhere, any kind of system, Apple system, Unix system, Linux, whatever, doesn't matter. So this is actually extremely powerful when you think about it, being able to look at any data, so retrieve any data, modify the data the way you want it to be shown to your users, any way you want, and then be able to change the data back as well. What's remaining? I mean, as far as data manipulation goes, that's it. Don't get me wrong, though, there are definitely advantages to Visual Studio. I don't want to say there are none, but this takes you really, really far into what you need to do with data manipulation for all your needs. Okay, so this graphic right here talks about how you can change one data point to show, you know, like a text box so you can manipulate the data. The next slide here talks about how you can show everything as a data as a text box, for example, or other kind of like a multi-line box or whatever, where you can change data and it's going to change the whole record everywhere within your end repository. I believe I'm done. Look at that. No more slides. Now let me show you something else before I go further. I brought some DVDs with me. These are not movies, by the way. These are, we have DVDs that we sell on our site. And these are just some sample DVDs that that I have that I'm going to give away as prizes. So this has like 9 demos per DVD about SharePoint, InfoPath, and SharePoint Designer. All right, there's 3 of each, and it's all 2010. And the way you're going to get this DVD, if you want it, is if you answer a question correctly. All right, so we'll try to keep it interactive. If you have a question that I cannot answer, then I'm going to give you a DVD. And if I ask you a question you can answer, then you get a DVD as well. All right? All right. Quick question. Let's see who's awake. 2 kinds of web parts that I mentioned. What are they? Raise your hand. Yes, go ahead, sir. List view web part and data view web part. Awesome. Here we go. Could you pass that back, please? Thank you. All right. And both of them use the XSLT functionality, right? XSLT list view web part and XSLT data view web part. All right. Let's jump into this now. Here's a site that I'm going to use. It's called a sales site. And I'm going to go ahead and manipulate data here all throughout. Let's see what time is it, 4:30 a.m. And we have about an hour, I think, from now. First thing is, let's look at some data that I'm going to consume. Documents, sample documents, should be in here somewhere. Not in here. I'm sure I'll find it in a minute. Here's what I'm going to do. There's a spreadsheet out there, which I think it's going to automatically find for me where it is. I forgot. Anyway, I'm going to import some data in from this spreadsheet and make a list. All right, that's the first thing. So I want to make a list here. Site actions, more options. By the way, this appears in the old-fashioned way than what you've been looking at so far because this is not running Silverlight. I want to show you the experience that we get without Silverlight also. There's going to be later, actually in a different demo, that I'll be showing some workflow visualization, and I want to just prove that you can do it without Silverlight as well. Silverlight is an awesome thing to have. I definitely recommend all companies have it, but I have a couple clients myself who are just hesitant installing Silverlight on their systems. And still, without Silverlight, everything works fine. I'll click on Import Spreadsheet. Employees. So that's just going to be some sample data that I need. Browse. Here it is. Yeah, I knew it was going to be here. So it's under Documents List Data. All right. Employee. Spreadsheet is right here. Started blinking, telling me that, look at me. Here we go. Table 1 is the table that I want to just import in. Simple enough, import. It's going to bring all the records in, give me some sample data to work with. Here's my list. All right, so what does it show me? It shows me employees' data, contact ID, login ID, manager ID, etc. This list is pretty good, very informative in nature, but if I know your bosses, maybe if you are a boss yourself, look and feel matters, right? The way it's presented to the actual user really, really matters. All right, so we're going to make this look a little prettier and a little bit more informative, more conditionally formatted to give you more highlighted stuff. Let's see. I'll go to SharePoint Designer. Here's SharePoint Designer. I'm going to say File, Site, Open Site. And in here, actually, let's go back and I'll just take this URL for my site. Put in SharePoint Designer, so that's all you gotta do, right? Put your URL in there, open. Okay, here's my site. First thing, I'll go to Lists and Libraries, see my employees list that I just imported in. Employees list right here. Within that, I have all kinds of information that it shows me about employees list. The thing I care about right now is the views for the employees list. It's already the default view, which just shows all items. Let's make a new view. I always recommend making a new view instead of messing with the existing one. So I'll follow my own recommendation. New. Employee info is what I'm going to name it. And make this a default view. All right? All right. Loads up the master page, the Chrome, the look and feel of the site and everything else, and now the data is going to come up in just a second. So when you make a new view, by the way, in a list, what it does is it takes the existing view, the existing default view, makes a copy of that, all right, and it gives it to you as a starting point. That's what it does. Even if I had made some modifications to my all items view, it would have taken that, made a copy of it, make this my starting point then. All right, here's my view. Now, all I've done so far is just make a new view, nothing else. But if I go inside here, it shows me something like, terminology for what I was telling you about is there. XSLT, list, view, web part is what it says. It's just cut off a little bit. I'll go ahead and highlight the whole thing. And only one of the few times that I go into code is going to be now. Otherwise, I'll be staying away from code for you guys. But here we go. XSLT, list, view, web part. Okay, so I did not forcefully put that in. It just appeared automatically. All I had to do was make a new view in this case, which is showing a list. Same thing with libraries. Automatically, it's going to show me XSLT list view web part. Let's see what you can do with it now. First thing is, let me save it. That's always the first thing you should do. Save. All right. Let me get out to my site in the browser. Here's the employees list. Here's what it looks like right now. And if I go to the list tab, go to the all items view, which is my previous default view, should look exactly the same, right? That's our starting point. All right. Okay, so this is what it looks like right now, employee info. Let's take out some of these columns because I don't need them. For example, attachments, I don't really care for that. Let's see, what else? Salaried flag won't really help me much right now. So let me take those things out. That's the first thing I'm going to do in SharePoint Designer. Second thing, something that I get asked all the time is, or actually I see managers asking employees all the time to do this, is, and you probably will relate to this as well, when you want to select and you want to work on an item, especially in 2007 SharePoint and before that, you know, you had to click on this menu, right? This drop-down menu. And how many of you have been asked this question, that, hey, I want this menu to be here, not there? Anybody get asked that question? All right, a few people? All right, happens all the time. So we're going to put it there. SharePoint Designer will help us do that. Instead of here, I'm going to put this drop-down menu, my context menu, also called the ECB, it's going to be here. The way you do that is you go to the field, for example, this field. Whatever action I take on one data point is going to happen in the whole column, by the way. So I'll go here. I'll click on a thing called the magic arrow. I'm kidding. It's called a chevron. I call it a magic arrow. And I'm going to select show list item menu. Simple as that. Did it do it? Let me just check. Yeah. Save. Refresh. Here we go. Just like that. Okay? That's how simple it is to make the edit control button menu, ECB menu, on a data point. Now, let's do something else. First, like I said before, I'm going to go ahead and take some columns out here. So within SharePoint Designer, I'm going to click on Add Remove Columns under List View Tools. Take attachments, take it out. I'll take out, what else? The salaried flag, I don't need that. Everything else I'll leave alone for right now. Okay. See, it says updating data view, by the way. You saw that? It disappeared for a second. So XSLT list view web part was made using data view components, use that functionality. Because of that, you're going to see this data view popping up many of the places. Don't get confused. I mean, yeah, they are both data views, the way you look at it, but one is a data view web part, the other one is a list view web part. Okay. And you'll see that, by the way, if you click on a web part and it shows you the name on top, and you also see the list view tools or the data view tools for the other one. That's how you can know which one is which. Okay. Next thing that I want to do is use some conditional formatting here. So, vacation hours. Let's work with this thing right here. If my vacation hours is dwindling, if I have less than 10 hours, I want it to be highlighted and like in red. So I'll use the data point, just click on this, and use something called conditional formatting to format my selection. It's going to ask, what is the criteria? Well, if the vacation hours is less than 10, then set style. And the style that I'm going to put in there is going to be change the font weight to bold, change the color to red. As you can see, by the way, that it's making the style attributes here for me. Okay, so it makes the style attributes for me. It's going to insert it in directly where it needs to go. SharePoint Designer is completely WYSIWYG. WYSIWYG, what you see is what you get. So it's going to show me a design time exactly of what the users will see at runtime. Makes my life easier. Here we go. Next thing, let's do something even cooler than this. This is just easy stuff. Marital status. All right, let's work. Let's have fun with marital status here. Married and single, right? M and S. Simple enough. Instead of showing these indicators, M and S, what I want to do instead is show pictures. Okay, so I'll go here and click on Insert, Insert a Picture. I have picture for married and I have picture for single. Here's my married sign. I'm going to give it alternate text, married. be pretty big to begin with. I could resize it. Here it is. Happy married couple. Okay, let's make it small. And see, when I made small one picture, everything else gets small too, because whatever you do on one happens on the other, because it's a repeater control. That's what data view is, or that's what XSLT list view part is. It's a repeater control. Let's make it a little bit smaller. All right. Next thing, I'll go right beside this picture and put the single picture here as well. So I'll go to Insert, Picture, Single Picture. Those of you who are single are going to enjoy this one, because it's true. Right? That's what you do if you're single. Relax. All right. So now what I want to do is show the appropriate picture, depending on what the marital status is, right? I'll go to the first one, go to Options for List View Tools and Conditional Formatting, Show Content, Conditionally Show Content, when marital status equals M for married. Show that picture. All right. Disappeared when it says same thing, but of course the opposite. And when I go to the single one here, conditional formatting, show content, marital status equals single. As I mentioned, add design time, you see the results. Great. Save. It's telling me, what do you want me to do with these pictures? You inserted them from your computer. Where do you want me to store them, right? It's saying right there that it recommends it stores them under the Site Assets folder. Now, Site Assets, it's really it's a library, but it's referring to here as a folder. You want to put these system images in the Site Assets, so let it do it. You can change it if you like, but I'm going to accept this recommendation. Click on OK. Here's Site Assets, by the way. If I clicked on here, it would show me those pictures. Okay. Now, I don't need this M and S anymore, so I'm just going to delete this. All you got to do is just click on that and delete it. Gone. Save. It's telling me again, what do you want me to do these pictures? Because, you know, it has to override it, unfortunately, every time I try to save the page. Let's try to save it again. All right. Come back here to employee info. One thing I realized is that I don't have the employees list listed here in the quick launch. Let me go ahead and make that appear first so I can easily refresh it next time. I'll go to employees list. Go to list settings, title description, navigation, show on quick launch, yes. Here we go. Here it is, employees. Sweet, right? Easy enough, quick. All right, we're just getting started though. More stuff to come. DVD time. All right, now I showed you for conditional formatting, you can format a selection. I also showed you can show content, and there's also one more called hide content, dependent on the exact criteria, all right? Now, please raise your hand if you know the answer. Give me one other way that you can format data, one other option that appears in the conditional formatting the drop-down. So it's format selection, show content, hide content, one other thing. Oh, that's right. Yeah, format row is another one. Format column is another one. Awesome. Welcome. Great. Yeah, you can format rows, you can format columns, you can format selection, you can do hide content, you can do show content, depending on what the condition is. You can do all that cool stuff. The next thing that I want to do, let me just make sure here, yeah, let's go to the next thing, and that's going to be to connect to outside data. So I already have access to this employee list, which is great. Let's go to data sources in SharePoint Designer and make a connection to a database. Database connection, configure database connection. Before I make the connection, let me show you the database that I'm going to be connecting to. Here it is. I'm running it on the same system, of course, for demo purposes, but of course your database would be somewhere else in reality. SQL Server, we got a database called AdventureWorks. AdventureWorks is a sample database from Microsoft. Within that, I have the contact table. That's what I want to get access to. It's got all my contact information. For my customers, let's say, or for my employees, let's say. So, back in SharePoint Designer, I'll put in the name of the server. Usually you want to use a whole fully qualified domain name, so it'll be spel.aw.com. I think that should work as well. I'll try that. And I'm going to use a username and password that I have in SQL that I've created earlier called SPD. It has some access to this database. Supply the appropriate password. Next, should give me a warning, saying that your username and password is getting passed right now in clear text across the wire. That could be a problem, right? If it's being passed as clear text across the wire. If you use this functionality, recommendation is that you use SSL, use the SSL certificate, right? So it's being encrypted at least in the transition. AdventureWorks is a database, that is correct. The table that I want to get to is contact. Some of you might think, okay, well, what if I don't want to get to a table? What if I want to get to a stored procedure? Because that's the better way of doing it, right? The option right below, radio button, it says how you can, well, you can select that thing, click on finish, it's going to take you to select a stored procedure or a view. All right, let me for right now go to contact table, click on finish. At this point in time, you can filter your fields if you want. You can sort on things. I don't want to do any of that right now. Just click on OK. Here's my connection, contact on AdventureWorks. Now, the way this works is that this connection has been made at the site level. There's a special folder that's hidden right now from our view. It's called the FP Data Sources. Anybody know what FP stands for? Front page, that's right. A lot of front page stuff still in the back end there. Anyway, so it's FP Data Sources is still there, and that has a connection there from my site to this data source. Now, I can use this anywhere I want, any page that I want. So I'm going to go back to my employee info page. Now, this is it's a list view page, right? That's what this is. No problem. On a web part page, on a wiki page, on a list view page, on a form page, wherever you want, you can dump in your web parts. You can show your web parts, depending on what your need is. So right here, I'm going to say insert data view, contact at AdventureWorks. All right. First thing first, I don't need some of these columns, so I'm going to go to add remove columns. Contact ID, let's remove that. Name style, nope. First name, title, let's put the title up. First name, I don't need middle name, let's remove that. Email address, we'll take that one. We'll take phone number two. Right here. Okay, so the actual workings of how you manipulate the web part is very similar to the XSLT list view web part, while this one is the data view web part. And the way you know it is by looking at this name. Data view web part is also referred to as the data form web part, which is what is showing right here. Another way that you can make sure it's a data view web part is look above. It says data view tools right there, right? Okay. Now, I have this web part. What do I do with it? Got all this information. That's great. The first thing that I want to do in here is work with this field right here, first name. Now, the way it's implemented in the database is you got first name, middle name, last name, right? But my customer is asking me, my client is asking me right now that, you know what, or my boss, go ahead and make this show first name, space, last name. So, while I look at this data point here, and I think to myself, how do I make that happen? You can look at the code at this time if you want, if you're daring enough to do that. And what it's showing you is that it's using XSL to show you a value of this node called first name. That's a node, that's a data point within the XML that's coming in from the database, right? So you think to yourself that if there's a first name, there must be a last name. What if I just put right beside it? Don't do that. Don't put it right there. Not a good thing to do. But there's an easier way of doing it. I mean, you can do it through code as well, but this is a no-code solution track, right? I'm going to go to the data point and go to something called FX Formula Screen. This is an XPath editor, a way you can go ahead and make XPath expressions. XPath is a way, it's a language basically, to traverse, to go to your XML, all right, to point different nodes, to maybe put formulas around different things, and your end result and value is, of course, going to be what you want it to be. There's a lot of different stuff you can do. a lot of different kind of functions you have in here to manipulate date and time, to manipulate strings, to manipulate Boolean values, and so forth. The one that I'm going to use is going to be a simple concatenation option. Concatenate. If you've used concatenate in Excel, exact same way here. Concatenation just joins the values together. Whatever you give it, it's going to just join it together. So we need first name. And always working in this video, in this screen, in this dialog box, I recommend looking at the preview, because the preview is going to show exactly what it's returning right now before you click on the OK button. If it shows you an error over here, don't click OK, of course. All right, so first name, comma, I'll put a empty string here, just a space, double quotes, space, double quotes, comma, and then here we go, last name. Okay, so look at the bottom right here. It says now the first name, space, last name. That's pretty simple, right? Click OK. Here it is, first name, space, last name. And those of you who are wondering what's going on in the code right now, how could I have done it? If you click on split, it shows you exactly what happened. It just put the concatenate function directly in there, first name, space, last name. It just, you know, this product, SharePoint Designer in general, is not... it's not only made for developers. It's really made for power users. It's made for people who are coming in from the side of business and making solutions. That's why there's a lot of stuff that you can do here without doing any coding. But in actuality, there's a lot of stuff that's happening in the back end that we can appreciate. The first name... yeah, go ahead.
When you go to the
yes.
What I would have done at first glance, I have to say I'm fairly new at SharePoint.
That's okay.
I'd have copied that, pasted that, and made it last name. Not inside the selector, but two selectors.
Gotcha. Or, that would have worked too. Yeah.
Obviously, you recommend this.
Yes. So that's a really good question that he's asking. I'll repeat it, first of all. The question he's asking here, which is actually a very good question, is that if you go to this data point, you see this XSL value of select, and it said before last, first name, what you could have done is that maybe in the same TD, which is the same cell, you could have said XSL value of first name, and then somewhere else, XSL value of last name, right? That would have been fine as well if you'd done that. Concatenation is just a much more efficient option to do that, but that would have worked as well. And that's why, by the way... the way, if you work more in the design view, if you work more with the dialog boxes and the wizards and everything else, it's going to take you to the best practice, the best way of doing things automatically. And when you do it one way, you look in the code what happened, and if you are a coder, if you got that coder mind, you know, that's just follow those practices later as well. That's the way to do it. Now, for this first name, which doesn't apply anymore, I'm going to go ahead and delete that. The headings on top are just text. Just go ahead and delete this right here, for example. No problem. Let me just check something quickly over here. Yeah. Okay, so putting spaces in between column names, you know, removing column names altogether, putting different column names, no problem. That's all static in nature. All the data is what's dynamic, what's coming from data source. All right. Let me do something else now. So we have this data showing here, which is all well and good, but this data is still read-only. It's stuff that I can see, but I cannot manipulate. I cannot send it back anywhere, right? How about we make it so it's more dynamic? I can just go ahead and submit data values as well. All right. Now, of course, having said that, you first need to make sure that your login that you're using has privileges to submit data back. So if I go to security, for example, nope, not the security, wrong one. Here's my login, SPD, and this login right here is the one that should have the right privilege, right? You can use this thing, or there's another option that you can use as well to get to your data. All right, so right now, what I'm using right now in SharePoint Designer for the data view is using SPD login, which is giving me privilege. Whatever the SPD login privilege has is going to be provided to the user who's looking at the data, right? It doesn't matter who the user is. Does that make sense? You come in, and you are a member of a site. You come in, and you get access to the data that you might not, should not have, actually. So this is one way of doing it, which is a pretty good way. There's another way as well, which will take your access automatically, see who you are, and will give you the privileges that have been defined for you, specifically maybe for you or maybe for your group. And there's a way you can do that. Something called what? Anybody? It is impersonation concept, that's true. But in SharePoint, what is it called? What's that again? Secure store. Absolutely, that's it. Would you mind passing it back? Thank you. Secure store, which was before known as single sign-on. You know, in SharePoint, though, in SharePoint Designer specifically, you'll still see the wording single sign-on some places. Single sign-on is the same exact concept as secure store, was the same thing. They just call it secure store. But they're still using both of the wordings. Just don't get confused on that. So what happens in single sign-on, which, by the way, I won't have time to show it. There's a video for it out there on the site. But I don't have it configured here right now. You configure secure store, which says, I want to make a new application connection to this whatever database or whatever application that I have, and I want to provide this particular group or these people access to that connection. All right? And then the credentials that you provide, SharePoint, it encrypts those credentials for that data store, keeps it in a secure store database within SharePoint. That's how it works. All right. Well, I have privileges here. That's all I wanted to check, and I wanted to show you where it is. So I'll go back to SharePoint Designer. What I want to do here is I'm going to convert. What I want to do here is I want to convert this from what is showing up right now, which is just text, which is just label, to text box, so I can push data back. Click on this. I'll click on this magic arrow once again. It's showing me the data field right now as email address. And it's formatting this as text. Now I want to format this as text box. That's what I want. There we go. Simple enough, right? Same thing for phone number. I click on this data point. Change this thing from text to text box. All right. Some people stop here and they say, oh, I got everything. Great. Save. OK. You go back. Let's see if anybody catches this. I'm going to refresh my page and first of all make sure everything is working, looking good. So here's my data on top, which is my employees list. My data on bottom, here we go, which is my information coming from the database, right? There's one big problem here, isn't there? What's the problem? What was that? Yeah, save button or something, right? So you're changing data and you're all happy. Oh, cool, I got this. Well, how do you submit data back? You can't submit data back yet. So you got to make a save button as well. Absolutely. And by the way, something else I forgot to mention before is you got the pagination right here, right? Where you can paginate things. Notice what's happening here? When I'm paginating, it's not refreshing the whole page. It's using AJAX. It's using asynchronous updating right now. All right, it's not refreshing the whole page. It's just refreshing that data view web part. Very, very quick. And that was not there in 2007. That's brand new in 2010. All right, so I'm going to go back to SharePoint Designer here. I need a save button somewhere. I'll go to the bottom right here. And this is a table that it's rendering the whole thing in, so I'll click on the table tab up above. And I'll click on insert a row below right here. Okay, in this row I need to put a button. So I'll go to the Insert menu. This whole ribbon, by the way, it's brand new in SharePoint Design 2010. We didn't have that in 2007. As a person who has been using FrontPage since 97, actually, and then FrontPage 2000, FrontPage 2003, and then SharePoint Designer came in 2007, I really appreciate this thing. I don't know if you will or not, but working with SharePoint, working with all these things within SharePoint, everything else, ribbon is pretty awesome. Insert. I need a control, which is going to be a SharePoint control. So I'll click on SharePoint. And I want to put a button out there. So it's going to be a form action button. All right. this window pops up saying that, all right, I'll let you put the button in there, but you got to tell me what the button should do. Do you want to commit data? Do you want to refresh data? Do you want to cancel your option? What do you want to do? Well, I want to commit data. Add form actions to be... Oh, okay. Oh, this is just telling me what the form actions there are. Okay. I'll click on commit, add, and now it's going to tell me what this one does. Commits the changes made in the form data to the data source. Whatever the data is that's on the page, commit it back to the data source. If I was working with a SharePoint list instead of a database, if I was working with a library, if I was working with a web service, if I was working with an XML file, server-side script, doesn't matter what I was working with, it would have committed the data back to that data source using this button now. That's what it's saying. It doesn't really care where the data is coming from. It's just going to try to commit it back. I'll click on OK. Let me tell you a secret. Nobody wants to click on a button called Form Action. Trust me. So change it. I'm going to double-click on it. Change the value to submit, let's say. All right. Put another button out here. SharePoint. Form action button. Cancel button. Once again, I'm going to double click on it and change this to cancel. All right, let's save it. Get back out here. If you refresh, sometimes you're going to get this retry warning. Oh, you don't get it this time. If you get a retry warning or if you get like an error page which says refresh page, don't panic. It's just telling you that you need to refresh, you need to re-navigate to the page because you've been modifying the same exact thing in SharePoint Designer, so it just needs to clear the session out. All right, I'm going to go to the bottom, look at my data, and now let's go ahead and change some data around. Señor Humberto Acevedo, let's change his data. H-U-M, let's just say hum at aw.com. We're going to change it to that. And I'm going to click on submit. Did see anything happen? I know I didn't, right? We're just like that. Let's see if it did anything. In the database, since we have access to it, here it is, Humberto0 at adventureworks.com. Let's re-execute this query. I think I got some stuff in the end. Never mind. Let's do it again. Aha, look at that. That was so quick, wasn't it? Two things you will come to your mind. One is that this is super cool, right? I can change data that easily, no problem. That's great, and you will go ahead and be tempted to roll it out to your users. Your users will be extremely confused. Trust me. So this is also a best practice session as well, by the way. I want to tell you all the things that you will most probably run into in the real world scenarios. Do not give this to users just like that, because when they click on submit, something has to happen. You know, some kind of animation has to go off or some kind of new navigation. Otherwise, users will be not be happy. You know that, right? You know what I'm talking about. All right. I see some smirks out there. All right. So what I want to do is go back to SharePoint Designer. I'll go to submit button. Right click. I'm going to go to form actions to change the form actions. And I'll say navigate to page. Add. And I forgot to do something. Actually, hang on a second. I need to have a page first that I can navigate them to. So let me leave this one alone. Go to site pages. Make a new web part page. That's going to be just a thanks page. Thanks.aspx. All I did was made a new web part page. Now I'm going into the page to modify, to put some content in there. Thank you for your update. Simple enough. Let's save it. You will need this URL, spel/sales/site pages/thanks.aspx. So you'll need this thing. Let me go ahead and get this thing from the browser. I'll go to site pages, thanks page, and here it is. Let me grab this, Control C. Back in SharePoint Designer, I'm going to go back to my employee info. And here, I'll double-click on Submit. Oops, not double-click. Right-click, go to Form Actions, Navigate to Page. So it's going to go ahead and commit, and then it's going to navigate to a page. That's the Submit form action, basically. I'll click on Settings, and here is where I'm going to put in my URL for for the page that I want the users to get to. Click on OK, click on OK, and click on Save. Okay. Oh, I should have saved that too. Oops. I don't think it matters in this case. It's overwriting it anyway. Kind of annoying. All right. Let's see if it worked. Go back to my employees' data. Go back to here. And then in here, I'm going to change, let's say, a phone number for somebody. How about Ronald Adina? I'll change it to my home phone number. Just kidding. Do not call this number. I'm just kidding. All right. 773-484-773 is Chicago area code, by the way. Submit. Thank you for your update. Let's make sure this update did happen in the SQL. So that was Ronald, right? Oh, man, I should have. It's got all A's. It's okay. Where last name equals Ronald? Is that it? Let me just make sure. Ronald Adina, right? Yeah. So Ronald, we'll just do the Ronald first. It's pretty. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you very much. Glad somebody's paying attention. Oh, lots of Ronalds. I thought this was going to be the only one. All right, no problem. The first one is the one that we're looking for. Ronald Adina. The phone number, here we go. 773-484-3933, right? Yes.
Is this data being validated?
It is being validated, and it's being constrained at the database level. It is not being constrained. It's not being validated at the form level. If you wanted to validate this at the form level using, for example, JavaScript or anything like that, then you would have to insert that code directly into the page. You would have to make the code. There are things called required validators, range validators, things like that in SharePoint Designer. You would have to put that onto the page, and you got to link it up to the control. That does require some code, though. There's another way of making forms, by the way, making list forms. Anybody know of that other way? InfoPath, right? InfoPath is our friend. My last session tomorrow is going to be talking about InfoPath forms and SharePoint Designer forms. What are the differences and which one's better? All right, so InfoPath makes it much, much easier to do required validation, to do other kind of things. SharePoint Designer is a little bit harder. All right, let's show you this, have this work one more time to make sure it's working fine. How about Carla at SharePointVideos.com, let's say SV.com. Submit, once again. First name, we'll do Carla this time. Execute, yes. There we go. I'm sorry, one more time.
Are all the telnew roles in the, on the screen sent to the database or just the one you've touched?
At this point in time, whatever you have touched is the one, well, I'm sorry, hang on a second here. Actually, everything is sent. But you know, now this is going back to my developer days, and I'm trying to remember exactly how it is. There's a dirty flag, dirty record flag that gets set, right? Where it knows that this is the one, this is the row that's been changed, has been modified, and only that gets updated. So because of that, it becomes more performant, where not everything is being sent back and everything is trying to be processed. Otherwise, if it's like a million records, that would be forever. Yeah, so it's much more performant in the back end. All right. Let's do something more fun. All right, why not? We're having fun, aren't we? I hope, all right. It's as much fun as you can get in a technical world. I know, you must be wishing that you were here, single or not. All right, we have this data coming from employees list. We have this data coming from database. Now, the data, the reason I chose this specific data, these specific data points, is because they are similar in nature. The employees list has something called a contact ID, which I believe is showing up here. Yeah, it is. Here we go. 1209-1030. And if you remember, there is a contact ID that I chose to not show, but it is there in the AdventureWorks contact table as well. All right. How about if I choose one of these records in the employee list, which is in SharePoint, show me the relevant record in the database? All right. I want to make that happen. So you make a connection to make that happen. No problem. That's just web part connections. I'll go back here. And in the first web part, I'm going to click on Add Connection in SharePoint Designer, of course. Center row of data 2. Next, connect to web part on this page. Next, what I want to connect to is, of course, the contact table or the contact web part. That is correct. Next. Here's it's showing me my contact table or contact data view, excuse me, columns. And here are my columns and employees list. I need to make one or more joins. Okay, because these two sources are coming from very, very different these sources are very different in nature. One is coming from a list, one is coming from a table. It might have data in different format. One might be showing something in a number, another one could be showing something in currency, one could be showing something in multi-level text box, another one could be showing a single line text box. SharePoint does not care. It's just going to ask, you know what, give me two data points that have similar data inside of it that I can go ahead and pull in and I can interpret to somehow join together. So I'm going to go ahead and tell it that, yeah, there's a content ID here that I want you to join on both of these things. Next, and finish. Save. Yes. I'll go back here. Refresh my page. Now you see this new column appeared called Select. The first one's already selected. Login ID AdventureWorks/guy1. We'll go to the bottom. Here we go. Guy Gilbert. His information is there. Once again, this is in a form nature, so form format, so I can go ahead and change the information if I wanted to, and it will change in database. Let's see if this is working properly. I'll select a different record, like Rob 0, whoever Rob is. Let's see. Select this one. Come on. Rob Walters, and the information. All right. How's that? Pretty cool, right? Extremely powerful information, extremely powerful way of doing things. And if I had to do all these things from first step to the last without doing an actual demo when I'm explaining things and everything else, how long do you think that would take? I'll tell you, 10 minutes. Seriously, I mean, if you get used to it, all this stuff is about 10 minutes and you want to beautify your data and all that stuff, another 15, 10, 20 minutes, and then you're done. Then you got time to go play golf and spend time with the kids. I call this this application SharePoint Designer. I call this the SharePoint trying to SharePoint allowing you to spend more time with your family designer 2010. Seriously, that's exactly what it does. In fact, the SharePoint Designer name itself throws out many people because they think it's just for branding, it's just for theme manipulation, things like that. Which is true. You can do that. You can make master pages. You can make style sheets and everything else. But this kind of functionality and a whole lot more is so prevalent in SharePoint Designer. Workflow functionality. Data view functionality, being able to manipulate and extend your SharePoint environment, making subsites and everything else, dealing with your site columns, your content types, and now we have access to business connectivity services layer, making more connections to your backend databases using the BCS layer, and I'm sure there's a couple more things that I'm forgetting right now, but there's so many different things you can do in SharePoint Designer. It's a pretty awesome, awesome application. All right. Yeah, go for it. Yes, so right now I have this special column which it made, and the way this works right now is it's a web part connection, right? Web part connections always work this way, but if I wanted to, what I could have also done is if I wanted to, I can make a connection from a data point, like for example, employee title, and say when I click on the senior tool designer, which is that data point right here, then go ahead and show me the relevant record down there. You can do that as well. Absolutely, yes. Yeah, so okay, I'm so glad you asked that question. Thank you very much, because I was going to explain that right now. At this point in time, the person says, I want to go ahead and make changes to my web part right here. So you go to Site Actions, Edit Page, and when you click on this employees thing right here, you get List Tools up above. And list tool just tells you that this is still a list. It's still a list of your web parts. So you can go to list tab, click on modify view, and make changes right here. So then you can make changes to columns, you can make changes to your sorting, your filtering. You know, this seems now so simple that, yeah, of course you should be able to do that, right? You should be able to go ahead and manipulate the data further from your browser, because not everybody's going to have access to SharePoint Designer. All right? You couldn't do that in 2007. If you manipulated, if you did all that stuff in DataView Web Part, which is what's required to make all that happen, you could not have a user or yourself even go to the browser and make these changes. But now we have that in SharePoint 2010. Yes, go ahead. So show you a pop-up instead of a... That's a good point. I have not tried that personally. But you know what? Let's go ahead and look at these options here quickly, since we have a few minutes over here anyway. I'm going to go to submit. Right-click, form actions. So you got refresh, cancel, navigate to source, and then custom action. Anybody know what custom action does? Nobody? Nobody's tried it? If anybody can answer me, I definitely get a DVD for that. Guesses are free. Sorry? Reconnect some code. That's actually a very good guess, but that's not it in this case. That's a very good guess, though. Anything else? Guesses are okay. It's okay. That's also a pretty good guess, but no, that's not it. You know, I got to be honest with you. The first time I saw this thing, and this was actually 2007 as well, I had no idea until I started using it. Yeah, so custom action to me, it says really nothing. It's probably a page or that I has a custom action that I need to connect to, or custom action defined in SharePoint Designer somewhere else that I need to connect to. But that is not it in this case. Here's what this does, and this might be the answer to what you're looking for. I'm not 100% sure. Okay, I guess I get the DVD. All right, just kidding. You click on add and click on, double click it right here and see what happens. It's validating it instead of showing it to me. You see what it's doing, by the way? It's kind of funny, it didn't, Usually what happens, it didn't happen this time, I got to look at exactly what happened, is that this is a workflow that has got updated right now. A workflow got inserted with the custom action behind the submit button now. Yeah, so if you wanted to kick off a workflow using a button anywhere on any list view page or within a data view web part or whatever, this is what you do. You put the button on the page, you go to the form actions, you click on the custom action, and with something that did not happen this time, which I'm not sure exactly why, but a workflow window comes up. I have to check this out to see exactly why this is not happening. But a workflow window comes up, and that actually lets you define the workflow. So the really cool thing about that is that if you have a workflow that is behind a button, and the button itself is in a form, correct? So now you have access to many of the data points within the form to be used in the workflow. I'll give you a scenario for that thing. Something that I did many years ago, for 2007 actually, is I took some data from a table. Actually, we're going through stored procedure, I believe, in that case. But regardless, took some data that was coming in from a table, had it showing up on a page, just like we have the content information showing up on a page. Now, the information on the page is showing information from the database. I used that information in a workflow then, using this custom action option, to say exactly if this action is that, go ahead and do something here and update something else there. So now you're actually working with data that's in a database, and when you're manipulating it right there without doing any coding using the SharePoint Designer workflow. And all that stuff, by the way, was possible in 2007 as well. This is not new over here. So this might be your answer. I'm not sure exactly if jQuery would work in here. I have not tried it personally. I've not personally gone to jQuery much at all yet. I need to eventually. It's just... more code. I'm not really a code kind of guy anymore. But anyway, that's how this would have worked if it does work. Let me do one more thing here, and then I'll let you guys ask more questions if you don't mind. Just a couple of wrap up. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was saying. That I'm just going to run this one slide and then I'll take questions. Since we're almost out of time anyway. So a call to action, by the way, is you can watch the free videos on SharePointVideos.com. I believe a video like this also exists and it's free as well, something similar at least. If not, there's also a subscription that we offer on SharePointVideos.com. If you have any questions about it, tell me, let me know. Check out the class schedule on Critical Path Training for classes that we do on this kind of stuff. And, you know, I send out a monthly newsletter, or actually a bi-monthly newsletter with information like this, and we make the videos free for our subscribers as well. Some of the videos, so connect with us if you like. Fill out the survey. Before I take questions and I open it up to everybody, I just want to let you know that I really appreciate you guys coming here this morning. Always good to see a big crowd like that, and I hope you got something out of it, and I hope you make DataView your friend from now on. So thank you very much. Thank you. Yes, go ahead. I couldn't hear the first part. Sorry, one more time. I couldn't hear the first part of your question. Connect navigation page. Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Dialog box before the commit happens, something like that. Ooh. Yeah, that's a very good. Yes. Yeah. So with the question over here, and that's actually a very good question, something that I have not tried with DataView, so I don't know the answer. But here's the question, a very valid question. Before you try to submit some data, it would ask you, are you sure you want to submit the data? You click on cancel, nothing happens. You click on OK, it goes forward to the next page and says everything is good, right? And there you would actually need to capture the event that's taking place after submit. And then let's go ahead and have an event handler, basically in this case, which shows up a dialog box. So I think I still remember how to do this in code. But I'm not sure how you can do it with DataView WebPart. I don't know how you could do it in DataView WebPart where you can show a dialog box with just the OK cancel button and then go from there. But I would have to think about that now. I haven't tried that personally yet. That's a very good question. Yes? You want me to show it?
Yeah.
Okay. The properties dialog in the submit button. So the form action, you mean?
Left click
on this thing and?
Yeah,
this one?
Double
left click won't do anything. Double right. Oh, double left click. You mean double. I'm double right clicking.
This has button type of
normal. Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I've tried both and it didn't do anything different. Because this button itself, you know, when you do that, by the way, here's what it does in the back end. The actual button appears as input type equals submit in the back end, but you still need to configure the form action for it to tell it to commit the data that's inside of it. So this one didn't do much for me. I believe it's just a regular submit attribute for an HTML control. But in this case, we need more than just that. Yeah, so in this case, you can have either or and it will work fine. Good question. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Let me show you that. So I'll go to data sources since we have time and you guys have the interest. I'll show you some more stuff. If you do a database connection or some other connection, whatever, let's just do this quickly over here. And the question here is that what if I wanted to get to like maybe a stored procedure or get to several tables, right? Well, first you would need a stored procedure or something in the back end, and then you click on this button right here. You click on finish. And here, you would decide on which stored procedure you want. Okay, simple enough in this case. You can also put a SQL statement directly. Not really recommended, but you can. Or better yet, you put a stored procedure here. Wonderful, excellent question. Yeah. Sorry. If you, Okay, so you want to edit data back, or you want to, is that what you're talking about, joining in this case? Grouping on multiple values. Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah, I have not found a solution to that either. So in this case, what the gentleman here is asking is, you have the multiple, like the multi-line view field, basically? Just a that's not it? Multi-lookup field. Okay. You want to group using a multi-lookup field. Yeah, that would be a problem too, in that case. You know, usually sitecoms are a better way to get information instead of lookups, because then lookup values still have some issues, to be honest, the way lookups work. But I mean, it still works great. In terms of working with the lookup information and grouping, or working with lookup information and InfoPath, you run into issues at times, because it's all in memory that's happening. It's not able to get to that data that it's going to be looking up to at the runtime. So you will always see some issues, unfortunately, when you use lookup fields in these kind of things, unfortunately. I have not tried that particularly, so I am not sure how you could do multi-grouping, basically, on multiple lookup values in this case. I don't know. I know what I know, and I definitely know what I don't know either. And so that's something that I do not know in this case. Yeah.
Yeah. One's really simple. Earlier you showed how the vacation hours, I think it was, you added a conditional formatting red if it was below 10.
Yes.
It shows some inline CSS code rules. Can you add classes to that as well? Because usually you use some default classes like import.
Yeah. So what it did in my case is an employee info. Let's see. I added it to right here, right? Now we're going to jump into code a little bit here. If I click on split view, and it's not showing me that exact thing here, but I'll do a quick search for it probably. Vacation hours right here. Okay, should be here someplace. Okay, here's somewhere. Let's see. It's changing the actual font. Anyway, there's styles over here, which let me just show you in the style box. Then I can look up for those styles as well. Conditional formatting. Modify style. Here's a style, right? Okay. This style right now is being used as inline style directly on the page. Your question over here is that, you know what? And I'm going to put some words in your mouth. Inline style is not the best way of doing things. It's better to actually put it maybe like in a CSS file somewhere else. Right? Yes, the way that you would do that is manual in nature. So you would have to actually look at the class ID that these attributes are being applied to, and then just take this information, take the class ID, put it into a CSS file, make a new one, or use an existing one, whichever you like. Just make sure that these are being applied last, of course. If you don't make sure, then of course, Nana is going to disregard those things. But that's the reason that it puts it in line, so it always gets applied, no matter what else you do. But you are right that if once you want to make all these things, you know, standard, the way it should be, you should take all these styles and put them in a different file altogether. You have another question, too?
Yeah. It may extend the question about jQuery. So if you
all right. Yeah.
What I think is most important, not even using the jQuery part, but an AJAX request. You said it used AJAX if you submit the button. It uses the external HTTP request to send data.
Yeah. Yes.
Could be other things, information. Are you able to load that back into the page and use it instead of saying to load the page? Well,
oh.
You should be submitted or this is the new data. Are you able to do that?
So the data that actually comes back after server-side validation happens, can you be able to use that, you're saying? Sure. I'm pretty sure you can use that data. The only way is how do you capture that data, right? Because then you would have to, unfortunately, go into the code to be able to capture that data. But then, yes, you can definitely use it. Unfortunately, there is no way in SharePoint Designer that you can make that happen. You can do all these things in SharePoint Designer, and then when the actual return happens with a server variable or something else, you can go ahead and use Visual Studio to tap into that. Because all it is really at the end of the day is ASPX code, right? That's all it is. So not through SharePoint Designer, but through code, you can make that happen, I'm pretty sure. By the way, the gentleman in the back told me there's only one or two more minutes we have in here. Then I think I have to get out. How about this? If you guys have questions, how about we just come up and talk about those questions? Otherwise, I'm going to let you guys go. And by the way, if you can, please fill out the survey. I would really appreciate it. Then thank you all for coming. Okay. Thank you.